Hail and well met, listeners.
Gentle listeners.
You're listening to Cocked.
Yeah, or something else, but probably Cocked.
Nice and easy to Google.
Yeah, Google it.
This is, I mean, you're kind of the ideas man behind this. I just own the recording equipment. What is this? What are we doing here?
The idea is that I wanted to talk about tabletop games in all their majesty. Make fun of them a bit, talk about what we like about them, what we don't like about them. Mostly what we like about them, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
We started playing 40K again.
Yep. We started. Yeah. Well, okay, hang on. Before we get, so 40K, obviously, like tabletop, like war games for sure.
War games mostly.
War games mostly. We're going to be doing a little bit of like RPGs.
We like RPGs.
RPGs, we do some D&D, some D&D. Worlds Without Number. Mm-hmm. Where does like tabletop games, like board games, that is a game played on a tabletop?
Yeah, but are fuck we, that.
Okay, no?
No.
But you're kind
I like
of
them
like,
fine.
Okay.
But they take up too much space.
Sure. Yeah, 40K doesn't take up any space
no
at
space
all.
At all. Well, yeah. We got to be economical because board games take up space for minis.
Sure.
That's okay. What I found when I moved.
Yeah.
And I had to get rid of the board games that I never play.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, unless you go to like a fucking cafe or something, but like who's got the time?
Sure. And then I guess like this is going to be kind of like... like it, you know, we're not going to be doing like battle reports or like it's definitely more about board game theory and tabletop game theory and appreciation.
Yes,
right,
exactly.
So a lot of like episodes are going to kind of cover, I guess, like we're going to dive into sort of more specific aspects of,
we like mechanics, we like talk, like you like min maxing this is why I think I've enlisted you.
Okay.
Because my brain doesn't work that way, which is interesting.
We should also introduce ourselves, I guess, right? That's the thing that podcast hosts do.
Yeah. Sure. I'm Connor.
I'm Campbell.
Welcome.
This episode we're going to be doing kind of I like to call it a session zero, if you will, you know, a character funnel, right?
Character funnel, yes.
Yeah.
A blender.
And so, you know, like if you're sitting down to play D&D for the first time, you got to figure out, you get a feel for who you're playing with, get a feel for, I guess like
what is the tone?
The tone,
the tempo.
Is this going to be a funny podcast? Is this going to be a serious podcast? You know, a little bit of everything there.
So serious.
Yeah. So, I guess like this episode, we're going to be kind of doing a little history, you know, we want to sort of just talk about like our past, how we got into tabletop games and kind of like
it's Warhammer Day today. Did you know that
it's Warhammer Day today?
Yeah, it's official Warhammer Day. They did a bunch of previews
based on like, is it,
I don't know what the,
is it Warhammer Day every year on this day, or is that just they just decided that?
I don't know. They have had Warhammer Days in the past. But I do know today is Warhammer Day. They put previews up for a bunch of shit I don't care about. And they released like they have special minis. I thought you can get them at the Games Workshop, but you can't get them at the games where you have to order them, which seems like not a very exciting Warhammer Day. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's fine. I think our quibbles with Games Workshop is going to be a recurring.
Everybody loves to quibble with Games Workshop.
But yeah, we're kind of loose. We haven't really, we don't really have like a hard format yet. So I think. This is just going to be kind of getting a feel for it, and you, dear listener, will sort of get an idea of like, I guess where we're coming from, our experience with games, so you know where our unfounded opinions are sort of coming out of,
our super correct opinions.
So yeah, the only opinions that matter.
Yeah.
So what's like? What got you into role playing games or tabletop games? Or like just what came first? Warhammer, D&D, like.
Warhammer definitely came first, so I remember this very clearly. It's kind of like one of my earliest memories. I was like 6, and my dad, who was like not a nerd at all, like in no sense, not like a nerdy bone in his body.
He's a jock.
He's played basketball in university and shit. I was fucking came out the womb as a dweeb. And I wanted to write like a comic book when I was like 5. So my dad was like, okay, let's like very sweet, like, father son making a comic book, and like we were like, I was like drawing and shit, and he was like, oh, let's go to a comic book store so you can like actually see what a comic book is, because I didn't have them in the house. So we went to Pendragon on 22nd Street to make sure.
Hell yeah.
Fucking, and yeah, we were there to get comic books. But they had fucking Warhammer. It was like 1997 or something. And I just went bananas for it. I wanted it so bad.
What was the kit? What did you see on the wall that you were like, that's my
it
shit?
It was the table. They had the table.
Oh, okay. Like
felt
yeah.
Yep. Like carpet ass greenery and the little trees, and they had like the, I guess like second or third edition Space Marines who were like holding their shit close to their chest like they're gonna lose their bolt guns or whatever. And I just like was like, I need this so bad. And my dad was like, no fucking way. And I cried and I cried. And then I didn't give a shit about the comic book anymore. the whole like sweet little like father-son project just died as I like wailed for Warhammer and didn't get any. So that was like my first exposure to it. And then like, I want to say like a year or two later, my friends who lived across the street, their dad bought them Warhammer, and like, one of them called me and was like, we got all this like cool stuff, you should come over. And I went over and I was like, this is the fucking, this is the thing from the thing. And so we were like playing with it and like trying to paint it all shitty. It was like when like the paint set that you would get, I'm sure they still have.
Like the paint set that came with like three shitty like snap fit Marines.
So many primary colors, just like
block like fucking
So we just like painted them all shitty, and then I think someone gave me one of the, I guess it was like the second edition starter, was like Blood Angels and Orcs. Like Orcs had like the
head.
And they were just like holding an axe and
the little like squat, that like second edition pose like that every model had. Yeah,
exactly. And so I got like two of them, because they were like, I think you could buy those orcs from Pendragon for like $2. And so like I could like save up my, like, I think my allowance was like 50 cents a week or something like that.
Yeah.
So I bought a couple of those, and then I just became like orc obsessed.
Okay.
Orcs were like my
shit. That was your shit.
That was my shit.
Okay.
And then I had like a couple of those, and then I got a bit older, and like, you know, you get, people don't appreciate Warhammer when you're a child. They think it's kind of stupid. So I stopped. And then in high school, when I had like a job, when I was like at the end of high school, I got, the Gaunt's Ghost book, and I started reading it, and I was like, oh, fucking, this shit is cool. And so I like actually had money, because I was working, and I got some Imperial Guard. And then that was around the time that you and I started playing.
Yeah.
It was like end of high school, like early, maybe a bit after that. But we started playing.
Yeah.
You had Eldar that you had. You can like tell that shit. But yeah. That was it. It was like fucking one of those things where like it was big in the neighborhood when I was like 7 to like 9 or 10.
Okay. Yeah.
And because I had like a few friends and like who all like just painted horribly and were into it, but then like people would fall off, but like I never stopped liking it.
Yeah.
Even when it was like stupid too.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is probably for the best, because I needed to like, you know, kiss girls and shit. But now I don't need to.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, there are some similarities here. I definitely like hit D&D first, I think. Like the timelines are very close for sure, because it was all right around, it's like,
was it like the cause they used to sell
the 3.5 starter set with the fucking, you had the book and you had
chapters.
Yeah. So I definitely remember. And this is like, I do think that to an extent, like the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings had like a lot to do with like that resurgence of like interest, because like fantasy kind of became cool for a second.
For a brief second. I always thought it was going to kick off like a string of like a genre of movies,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't.
Like a UA Bulls in the Name of the King.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. Like, again, it's like that. There's something about like this that really captures like your imagination as a kid, and that like,
oh, it fucking goes bonkers.
Yeah, like getting that D&D starter set was definitely a thing where I was like, we got that, and I just remember like printing off fucking character sheet after character sheet, not knowing at all how to build a character mm-hmm. or like roll dice, but just like drawing cool guys with swords in the character thing.
Dude, I have in my brain for some reason, like, this is how fucking much of a nerd I am. I remember the first time I rolled a d6 with a great sword. No, it was a d10 or whatever.
Yeah,
with a great sword in out of that starter set, mm-hmm. and like fucking just like ended a goblin's whole shit, and it felt so good.
Yeah,
and I still remember like rolling that dice, which is fucking maybe sad, but
sure,
I think it's awesome.
No, man. and then I definitely also had the thing where, so it was like we were kind of into D&D, but more so just as a like. Like, nobody knew how to, you know, it was like me, my sister, and my parents.
Playing,
like, I didn't know anybody who like wanted to play or knew how to play or anything. It was just mm-hmm. a thing that we had. Like, it was basically the same as like a board game that you just had in the basement
totally.
And pulled out every now and then. And I love flipping through that rule book. I still think that Player's Handbook has one of the best like aesthetics in general.
Because it's made to look like a fucking fantasy tome.
Yeah.
It's all like hand, gives the illusion of like parchment.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then I also had the friends down the street in Etobicoke who like got the they got the Battle for McCrag starter set. And that was a thing where I remember going over to their house after Christmas and just being like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Like, it's like one of those things where like you, and this is what like fucking captured my shit when I was like seven or whatever, or six, was like, it's because you're like so into like fantasy shit and like TV shows and movies and books and stuff, but
that,
like
that Redwall cartoon was hitting.
Oh, oh, I love that shit. Yeah, but it's like you look at the table and it's like got all the terrain and the and everything's painted, and it's like you're seeing like a tableau of like another world
when
you're that age, and it just like sends you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
and then So I was, and I remember going to their place, and again, that idea of like doing things shittily, but to your, like when you don't know what the rules of the game are and you just kind of like make up whatever you want to do, going over to their place, they have the starter set, and like all of the Marines have Tyranid arms and like shit, you know? And I was just like, this is crazy.
Yeah, you're just like, you have a thing in your mind where you're like, if I glue the rocket launcher to the bolt gun, surely that will make him better in the game.
And so it was a similar thing where I was like, I gotta get Warhammer. I gotta get into Warhammer. And like, for my birthday or whatever that year, my parents were like, hey, we got you the Warhammer starter set. And I was like, hell yeah. And I popped that shit open, and it was the Warhammer fantasy battle with the, with the
Lee Carvalho's putting challenge.
And it was like the orcs versus
high elves.
No, it was like Bretonians, I think.
No, that one was Bretonians and Lizardmen. There was an orc
and empire.
The sixth edition one was
So it was definitely that. And I was like, well, I know there's orcs in the other game, so like I guess these fantasy orcs are my shit now. You know,
what do we do with these knights?
Yeah, I don't know what to do with these guys, but like the fantasy orcs, I was like, surely this will translate. I can start.
Yeah,
you know, I was like, oh, I'll just buy a box of like 40k orc boys and mix all of these dudes together, and that will presumably work in the game.
Yeah
it didn't.
The game that I will never play with anyone.
But definitely got into like my shit, and I think my shit still is like modeling is like my favorite part of the hobby, and like kind of just like smashing pieces together and doing that. And then somewhere along the way when I realized it was like, oh, these are actually two different games, and like I need to mm-hmm. kind of start from scratch on 40k. And that was like me and my childhood best friend both got into it at the same time, and you have that like childhood like rivalry kind of thing. And so it was like, I'm gonna collect Eldar and you're gonna collect Dark Eldar. And that was, you know, like So we kind of had that. And then like again, like very much in high school, like, kind of fell out of that a little bit when I started getting into, like, music and, like, just, like, other shit. And, like, again, it's just like, oh, this isn't very cool. And then, it was, like, kind of a funny thing where it's, like, it's that thing that you, like, you still have all your models at, like, your parents' house or whatever, and you're still... You still have your D&D rule books and shit. And, like, every now and then in high school, someone would bring up D&D, and I would be like, oh, yeah, you know, I'd be down to, like, give that a shot. like, you fucking, like, go to someone's house who, like, they've all never played before, and you, as a kid, never really played before properly. You spend 4 hours of your night just rolling your character as you play one encounter, and then you're like, oh, fuck, I gotta go home. I got school tomorrow. But then, yeah, when you and I started hanging out in, like, sort of late high school, early university. Playing a band together, and it was like, oh, hey, are you into
yeah, this? Just like throwing it
out. this is a thing. And then I busted out all of the old, like, Eldar models that I had at my parents' place and was like, oh, there's a shitload of these. And kind of, like, got back into the game, like, for real. Right. And, like,
which was so, like, engaging to actually play the game.
And like, realizing, like,
we played it hard. We played it for keeps.
You want to talk about that, like, best friend rivalry shit, man? Like,
our, like, two man meta, Imperial Guard versus Eldar.
Just like the, like,
it's trying to pop fucking grab tanks.
Just exclusively going to, like, Games Workshop or, like, whatever local gaming store and just being like, I need the biggest anti tank you have.
Exactly. And then we went to that tournament, our first ever tournament. At the airport.
That was my first and last ever tournament.
Which is when we got we came into contact with 40K nerds. For real.
And that was
shocking.
That was 40K nerds in kind of, like, the height of the, like, the Death Star era, the height of the
Super Friends. No, it was like
Tau'dar.
That was, like, sixth edition. And we were like, because I remember I went to your parents' place in Etobicoke to, like, stay over before the tournament. Like, slept, basing my Space Marines with, because the doubles tournaments were on a team. Basing everything, because I was like, everything's got to be painted and based, and it's going to be great. And we got there, and it was a fucking dog shit. Nobody's painted. People were weird.
People were very weird, man. It was a lot of, like, well, I airbrushed everything three colors that, like, not in a scheme. Like, I just took an airbrush and went
three colors on it
over, like, all my fucking shit. And we got housed, because that was a thing where it was like,
did we win one game?
No. Because it was we played like some Tau'dar mega list of, like, two guys that I was like, oh, you know, I play Eldar too. And they're like, hey, rate of play, you know, can you, like, just like,
zero, two fucking skinhead kids just being like, I like Warhammer.
Just like zero, like, us being like, this will be a great event to meet like-minded people. And
which, like, by the way, people, if you're into something niche, don't be an asshole with someone who's also into that niche thing. Just be fucking easy. Just be cool.
Oh, you like Warhammer? Can you name three sculptors from the 1990s? Like, fuck off.
It was like, we definitely weren't ready for, like, tournament play, because we were
not,
like,
at all.
We were like, I got this Warlord trait, and they're like, I didn't see you roll a dice. Can you roll that again? And we were like, okay.
Yeah. I was running Striking Scorpions in, like, competitive play in six.
Some fucking, like, tax squads with, like, flamer, like a flamer and a crack missile in them.
And then,
full
10
man squads.
That was like, and it's funny because, like, our, again, like, you and I playing against each other and having that two-man meta of, like, a total power creep of, like, I think that was also the thing where, like, getting back into that game, and was also right around the time where I was, like, getting back into D&D and we were playing together. And that was me being, like, understanding for the first time that there are rules to this game, and then shortly thereafter understanding that I could exploit those rules or how can I build the best possible version of this within that rule set, which is, you know, a fine thing
it's
to
part
do
of the game,
it's a part of the game. It's definitely a part of the game that I think is, like, again, like, when you do, like, a character funnel in D&D and, like, you have one person who's like, oh yeah, I just, like, min-maxed this fucking barbarian, and you have another person who's like, I'm playing a stupid bard, and, like, you gotta figure out what you want, right? And, like, that was definitely a thing where, like, I had figured out that I was like, oh, I want to play like a really competitive min-max kind of thing. And then we got to that tournament. And I was like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And kind of like reevaluating, like, what do I like about this? And why did I get into this in the first place? Totally. Right.
Which is an easy trap to get in with, I think, 40K in particular. Less so with D&D, obviously, because mm-hmm. you're bound by the, like the whims, or not the whims, but like the, it's more democratic, right? Because you're like, you're playing with a group. The group has input in terms of like what kind of game you're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like with 40K, if you're going to like pick up games, it's by the book.
Yeah.
And it has to be by the book.
Yeah.
But I think what we're like discovering now, or rediscovering now with like Kill Team and 40K and stuff, is mm-hmm. like, it's way more awesome to just
have fun.
Yes. Exactly. I remember like when, we both took a huge break from 40K of like multiple years, and I stopped. My last game of 40K before I got back into it recently was right after 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like playing a pickup game with somebody in early 8th edition, and like going to meet him at the game store, and he was like totally nice guy, like just like a dad.
Yeah.
And really, really sweet guy. He like gave me a ride home after.
It was
like,
no.
Which sounds like weirdly sexual. But like he just fucking housed me. And I was like, dude, I'm wasting 3 hours of like a Wednesday night to just like pick up models off a table. I was like, this fucking stinks.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just like didn't play again until like now.
Yeah. And that was like, again, like the timeline of this specifically in 40K is like, it kind of helped and hurt that like I had a bunch of Eldar models lying around, that it was like, oh, there's less of a financial cost for me to get back into the game, which was great. But it also happened during Wave Serpent Mania.
Oh man.
And like, so it was like, it didn't help that I was like discovering the rules and discovering how to sort of like min-max within those rules at a time where the book that I had was like just
cuckoo bananas,
just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, the fucking like, I was like, oh, aesthetically, I really like jet bikes. I can put warlocks on jet bikes and make them invincible.
Yeah. I like, hated two up. Oh yeah, you had like a two up rerollable invuln or some shit. Oh, and with my little Cadians, my poor boys shoot plinking away with their. I'm like, I can first rank fire, second rank fire. I was like, okay, I reroll all
you,
my shit.
You, yeah,
the
you
thing
sh-
that
you shoot
makes
with
me get rerolls is rerolling.
You fucking like. You have like a 30-man blob of guard shooting like a million shots and you do one wound.
Yeah.
Like,
one wound.
Yeah. And but that was like, again, like kind of discovering like, what do I like about this game? What do I not like about this game? Sort of starting to reach out. Like I was on like the DACA forums and like met a couple of people through that like we still play role-playing games and shit with now. And realizing like, oh, maybe, you know, like maybe you can just like make a cool fluffy army. Like I like jet bikes. That doesn't mean mm-hmm. that I have to fucking be a dick about liking jet bikes.
House rule shit too.
Yeah.
Like you can like, which is something that would have been unheard of at the time
mm-hmm.
that people like, well, when you're playing pickup games, like you can't be like, can we play it this way? Cause like this kind of stinks.
Yeah.
But now like we can just be like, let's fucking change the terrain rules to be actually sane.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like make play our own missions and do that kind of shit.
And that's kind of where I feel like the like D&D like RPG style of collective like agreement of like what is fun is sort of mm-hmm. starting to bleed over into at least
yeah.
our 40K group. I don't know if that's like a thing beyond that.
Yeah.
Like the
idea of like we're not playing FIFA on PS2. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like we're playing. Like there's a level of imagination that has to be there.
Totally.
And in order for it to be actually something worth doing for fucking 3+ hours,
mm-hmm.
like just make that the objective and bend the rules. Like with D&D now, like the rule book is so incidental to how I play role-playing games.
Totally.
Like I just need to know what the outcome of a decision that the player is making is. And that is where the dice come in, like modifiers and stuff like that. But like really, it's still going to be a dice roll with some modifiers.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that's less important and should be less important than what is the player doing? What do they want? Like, what are we trying to do here as like a group
mm-hmm.
rather than this is how the book says I should do this. If that
yeah.
makes sense.
Like, yeah. Totally. And like, I think especially in RPGs, we'll get to this in like kind of a minute, but like you are currently working on kind of like, you're doing like homebrewing multiple different kind of like role-playing systems right now that we're dabbling around with, and sort of like just that general like rule of like, what will make this more fun as opposed to, you know, like
what is correct,
or like internal balance, or even just like shit where it's like, there's a lot of stuff in D&D and 40K where it's like, we have this rule in place because Gary Gygax put that rule in place in the 70s.
100 like, years ago.
Yeah. And it's like, well, you know, that rule sucks. So, like, let's just not
do it. Yeah. Like, that's something that I see. Or like, everyone like has that moment where, like, everyone's like, we're playing a game, whatever it is. And everyone's like, oh, we got to do this stupid part of it now that we all don't like.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are you fucking just don't do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, when... In any role-playing game that you've ever played since you were a wee lad to the strapping man you are now, I can guarantee that every single one of those rule books has a hard-written rules for carrying capacity and daily rations.
Yeah.
How many times have you ever used those rules? Like, everybody already kind of does what we're talking about to some degrees, and it's just like... But, like, other things is like, no, you have to use feats, or, like, you have to fucking...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which also, like, feats are an optional rule in the goddamn book. Like, they're not... like, they're explicitly, like, you don't have to use this. Like, and it's like, you don't. Like, because it doesn't matter, like, if you can do an extra cool thing and roll an extra dice, or, like, you know, fucking cleave somebody or something. Like, you can just... if it makes sense, if it's like, I want to hit both of them, is there any way I can do that? And the DM could be like, yes, but you might hurt yourself or like open yourself up, but like, go for it.
Dude, yes, but are like the two best words in a like RPG context.
Yeah. Yes,
like,
but and yes and. Yeah.
Yes, but. I like yes, but more than yes and, because it creates stakes, you know?
The yes and is when you crit, and the yes but is when you fail.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like real quick, because we're jumping all over the place here a little bit, which is fine, which is good. So like just finishing, because like talking about 40K and like so after like the Eldar shit, I was like, oh, like that got way too competitive. I want to play an army that is the exact opposite of that, and just like sort of like get back into like modeling and start playing more like fun fluffy games. So I jumped into orcs after that. And then what was after you did your guard, and you've always been had kind of like a Marines thing going in the background.
Yeah, I'm an Imperium guy.
Big Imperial time. Fist man. I went, you had a little bit of chaos going on for
I
a bit.
I did chaos because I'm a like your dudes guy when it comes to 40K. Like I love homebrew shit, custom.
Oh,
guys.
Dude, fuck named characters.
Yeah.
If you run a named character, fuck you. Yeah. Like turn the podcast off right now. Stop listening.
Yeah. Another thing that used to be like. Because they used to say, like, if you can include Azrael if your opponent agrees to it. Because they used to be, like, the only reason there's, I mean, this is, like, not fucking uncovered knowledge, but, like, the only reason that all of those named characters were, like, someone in the design studio was, like, this is my guy that I named. And they're like, oh, cool, let's give him rules for fun.
Yeah.
Because we're, like, making the game. And then they all, like, I don't mean it's cool because they're, like, in the lore or whatever, but... Yeah, it used to be, and it should be, like, more about what's your captain's name.
Yeah.
You know? Because you modeled him cool. You should be modeling him cool. Yeah. So, like, what's that about?
And there is that whole... I find with, like, 40K and D&D, like, there's a similar kind of thing where it's, like, you have players that are playing it for the experience of, like, immersion and role-playing games. And like 40K is a tabletop war game, but it is also kind of an RPG, right? You are, you've created, like, you have, like, backstory to your fucking army, and, like, this, and some people just see a tabletop war game or an RPG as, like, a combat simulator with some shit in between.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which is not a good way to play those things.
Like, totally. Like, that's, when I was, like, getting back into D&D, I was definitely just, like, how can I make the guy who will kill the most shit?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, also, like, that's kind of how, that's, like, and this is also kind of, like, common knowledge, but, like, that's not how, sorry, that is how the game loop of D&D has evolved, right? Like, the game loop of D&D is kill shit, get loot. And so the game itself does kind of facilitate that kind of thing in the same way that like the ultra killy mechanics of 40K
mm-hmm.
kind of bend people towards hyper competitiveness and also like Games Workshop's like design
yeah.
mentality of like overlapping releases and rules and shit does kind of like bend that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as, I don't know, personally, I don't find it as fun. And also I'm fucking right. it's more interesting and more like more worthwhile as a thing of your time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think a thing to do with your hands to like actually give it a little bit of craft, like whether that's on the tabletop or on like your hobby fucking
yeah.
Table.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like when you put everything into, be it D&D, be it 40K, be it any other game, when you put all of your time and effort and your prep before the game into the only way that I'm going to have fun is if I am able to kill a bunch of shit, and then you show up and you get fucking like blown off the table by somebody who's like better than you or has like a fucking army that's like more in the meta or whatever, yeah. or you show up and it's like an entire like RP session or someone else in your party is like better at killing shit than your yeah. killy character, then you like you immediately like all of your eggs are in the basket of the only thing that I enjoy about this is killing
I'm
shit
have fun, and if it doesn't happen I'm not gonna have any fun.
And it's yeah. it's again it's that thing where it's like wow what a waste of 3 hours, whereas yeah. like if you know jumping in and like kind of trying to appreciate more aspects of the game or trying to appreciate and have fun in the space with like the people that you're sharing. Like that's the other biggest thing, right? Is that like you're playing a game. It's a social thing, right? You're playing a game with a person and like
it should be, that should be the thing. Sorry, I'm just going to turn my phone on to do not disturb, a little behind the scenes action for you, dear listener. But yes, it is like the thing, like, and that's what makes it different than playing a video game, is that totally. You're having a personal, like, you're participating in something.
Yeah.
You're not just, which is where, like, because I like, I used to have a lot of fun doing, like, when the Hogtown group did, like, tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it was, and I'm sure it still is, because it's, like, a good group of people, but, like, an excuse to just play a bunch of 40K.
Yeah.
And you might win the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, I need to win this
yeah.
competition.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I can play, instead of playing one game every 2 or 3 weeks based on my time, I can just spend an entire day playing this game.
Yeah.
Which is what I like would like about a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But when we did that first tournament, that was very much,
or even we did like an Escalation League at
let's talk about that Escalation League. We had a when we first got into it, we played at an escalation league at
Heavy Support,
which used to be at Queensway.
Queensway and Islington, like yeah. across from the movie theater,
across from the old Cineplex. And
yeah. all you listeners out there in Paraguay, yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
We there was like a couple of guys, they were all like our age or even a bit younger. Like there was some like teenagers there.
There were some fucking kids, man. And there were some kids that were like Escalation Leagues are great. If you're like
fucking sick, yeah.
Thinking about getting into 40K or even just thinking about like starting a new army, like Escalation Leagues fucking rock, because mm-hmm. you start with like 500 points, like you buy like 3 boxes, and then every 2 weeks you buy another box and build up to like a 2,000 yeah. point army.
And they're great for stores because they can like facilitate them and like
yeah,
everyone's buying stuff consistently, which is great. And yeah, we were young too. We were like 20, yeah. 21. And so we're playing this Escalation League and it's going great. And we're like every week we're going playing games. We're getting to know people too, which is great.
Definitely
like
built up a little kind of store scene. Community, you know?
And then it's the last day of the league. 1,500 points or something like that. Like yeah. I don't even think it was 2,000 points. And we're all excited. We're like, okay, our armies are complete. We're going to have yeah. fun. And this fucking jabroni who's like 5 or 10 years even older than, in my mind, he was like 35. He was probably like 28 or something.
Sure.
He comes with his, it was a Demons. It was right after the Demons.
No. It was before. So he was running. He had, it sucked because he had such a cool army. He was running Traitor Guard.
Yeah. It was like Forge World Traitor Guard.
Shit. Yeah. And they were painted great. They looked amazing. But he was just, and then he allied them with like, this was in the thing where it's like, oh, I can take like 7 detachments with like one assassin or one like Imperial, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, and he gets crazy bonuses and all that shit.
All this shit. And he just like rolled everybody.
I have to stress, never was in a previous week of the Escalation League. Came on the last day, treated it as a tournament where he just housed all of these kids who were getting into 40K.
All these like young kids.
And the store had a prize.
Which he took that prize.
He took it.
And put it into, he specifically said, he was like, yeah, man, heard this new demon summoning thing's going to be crazy. And then he bought like 10 boxes.
He was like, you can just summon unlimited demons. It's fucking stupid.
And then bought and like, left. And then, well, then he bought like a bunch of boxes of demons. And was like, cool, see you at the next one with all that shit, I guess.
Nobody in the league was into 40K anymore after that. Like
It also kind of didn't help that there was one dude who worked at that store who was very much on the 40K is stupid train.
Yeah.
And he kept trying to convince everybody to buy
War Machine.
War Machine instead.
War Machine was a thing.
And it's like, look at where War Machine is now.
Yeah. Fucking scrubs.
Fucking stinks. Like, oh, I got 10 guys. I'm going to stand them all in a straight line. Yeah,
talk about like what I was saying before about like when you're a kid and you see a full tabletop of 40K and you're like, oh my God, like I'm looking at a different world.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see I remember looking at War Machine at the time and just being like, this looks like dog shit.
Yeah.
It's just like mats everywhere and like no terrain on the
table.
Dude,
I forgot about the mats. The like circle yeah. mats.
It was so stupid.
Oh man, that game honked.
Yeah, it did honk. That's the thing. Like, and this is like, I'm going to take an unpopular opinion, and I'm going to make fun of Games Workshop a little bit here. But like, I think that was one of the, because remember, like, that was when there was a bunch of like smaller games that were coming for Warhammer, like that were like, you know, it was like X-Wing was taken off. There was, War Machine was actually pretty big.
Yep.
And one of the things that I think that like kept me in 40K was that you could do your dudes. You could have multi-part kits.
Mm-hmm.
Do a lot of convert. It's simple to convert when you're, especially when you're just getting into it. Like you don't need a high skill level to like just change a cool. Like I remember the first conversion I ever did was like a Space Marine that like he was, you know, it was like third edition. He was like pointing his bolt gun forward,
mm-hmm.
and I just angled the arm to be pointing it like
towards
a target away from his body, and I was like, oh, that's fucking sick. But and then like now it's all like the kits are fucking crazy. When we started getting the 40K again, I bought the Sisters kit,
mm-hmm.
the Battle Sisters kit, and I was like, what in the ass is going on? It was so and they're all prescribed. It's very hard. You need like, I can convert them because I've been doing it, for playing 40K for 15 years, like modeling for 15 years, but like more than that, fuck. But like so I have like the skill level where I can do it, but if I was like just getting into it, you wouldn't be able to convert anything.
No,
it's different.
It's the kits are like so much more detailed now, and they have a lot more going on. But they're that like room to play has kind of shrunk a little bit. And that's kind of so it's like that was the thing that I loved about that orc army, was like how much I was just like everything in that army was converted. Like nothing,
it looks amazing.
Nothing
still.
In that army was built out of the box. Like I fucking,
and it was a confluence because like Mad Max came out.
Oh, it was the most time. Fury Road fucked up my shit, man. Like. It was like that army is like Fury Road meets the AC Turnbull gang from the Warriors.
Yeah,
like
that was
all I wanted, and that's exactly what it was.
Got like boots and braces on all the orcs and shit. It's fucking awesome.
And now I'm running Tyranids, which are all like, it's so funny to me when people are like, oh, you know, like these kits need an update. These are older kits. And it's like a lot of these Tyranid plastic kits came out at like the perfect time.
They look amazing.
They look great. And
they're not too busy, but they look gribbly enough that they're like,
well, and it's just like
fantastic.
It's a thing where it's like, I can do a lot. Like I can do a lot of conversion very easily with these. It's not
they're not completely bespoke.
Or, you know? Well, like I grabbed that box of Scions for our NK28 thing that we're doing. And like, it's like, if you don't glue this guy's foot to his fucking ankle in the right way, he won't stand up. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like if you don't match this set of hands with this set of forearms and this set of shoulders, it's like, just give me two arms, dude.
Like it's so confusing. Like, oh my God, it's so easy to fuck it up now. Like, because the loadouts are so specific, like especially for the new kill team, which we haven't played because we like the old kill team.
I love the like last edition of kill team.
The
2018
kill team game is great. Yeah. But like I was looking at the Krieg kit and the Commando kit, which are like great models, but you have to load it out so specifically. And if you don't load them out properly, you don't have a legal team.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very prescribed, which is like the opposite. And again, this is a very popular take, but like the reason Kill Team is cool is because you get to kit out your expendable dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like your dirty dozen.
And yeah.
Like, well, this guy's the fucking sniper and this guy's the flamer and blah, blah, blah.
Your seven tiered warrior samurai.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like customization and conversion has always been my favorite part. Also, hot take on this, on the new Kill Team thing. Aside from like the rules being kind of convoluted and stupid, mm-hmm. I don't like those orc kits, man.
You don't like them?
I
think they look fucking... I love, dude, the grot and the fucking gimp suit.
It's like orcs... The way that the orc range has been going is like leaning way too much into like the silly.
That is true, but I think...
And like
some of those guys though, like the commander with the toque and the fucking
fucking give me
their heads get cold,
dude. Give me like the techno barbarian orcs.
Sure.
Give me the like savage, ruthless, like mean motherfucker looking. I don't need a dude in a toque like that's you know
they're
what I mean.
Very much like now, like they're not. There's no verisimilitude with the setting with orcs right now. Like they're very much just like NPCs that spawn out of nowhere,
and they're all fucking named like Groz Wanger, the Grot fucker.
Like it sounds like, yeah, their names sound like something from a children's show.
They Roald Dahl'd the orcs, yeah, you know, like.
But like I was reading, like, have you ever read the second edition? Like Games Workshop released, they used to really just release like fluff codexes.
Oh,
like,
true, really?
Codexes. So like, there's one called Here We Go. I think it's called Here We Go,
mm.
And it's about just all. It's a huge lore book about the orcs. How they operate, what their like society is like, and it's so cool, like it's so rad
because
it's like talk about like what an orc, what like life on an orc world is like, and it's like, you know, they have like human like imperial slaves that they like that like run all their shit, that like basically live as grots,
yeah,
and they're also like not closed society. Is like at this time like a human could go and like trade in an orc. Like, there's depth to it. It's not just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's fucking, not, they're cartoons, man.
Like, and, like, they were funny then, too, right? Like, they were blackly, like...
It was, like, a dark humor, whereas now it's more, it's, like, Three Stooges shit,
yeah, exactly.
You know?
It's, like the or I like orcs when they're, like, all of the negative aspects of a human being, but, like, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, hateful, prideful, stupid, ugly, and like those are the things. It's like a mirror to like human society where it's like those are the things that are celebrated in orc. Like, there's a fucking, this is a small thing, but like I started playing the Total War Warhammer game, which is fantastic, but there's like one, like when you select a goblin hero on the map or whatever, there's this like one little like audio clip that he does, like just like you've selected me thing, and he just goes, I'm special. Like that's fucking perfect. Like that's exactly what that shit should be.
That rules. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we've talked like at length about our sort of 40K history, our ups and downs of like just being fucking pieces of shit metagamer min-maxers to sort of embracing the fluff and like, you know, having a good time losing. I the most memorable,
you gotta have fun losing.
The memorable moments in like any 40K game are like the shit that fucks up. The I still to this day in that escalation league when you had a lone guardsman gunbutt Gazgul Thraka to death.
Oh my god, he was the champ.
Yeah,
he like shot a what was the fucking Space Marine flyer that like the transport or whatever, I can't remember what it's called, but he like he in one game before that. He plasma gunned it out of the sky and exploded it and killed him. And then the next game, he gunbutted Gazgul Mag-Uruk Thraka to death.
Which is
so sick.
Which is great. But so like outside of 40K, like, because I feel like with, and it's like with the pandemic where we haven't been able to get together and like play tabletop, we've been doing a lot of like Zoom RPGs, a lot of like Roll20 and stuff. But like, you've been introducing a lot of like non Wizards of the Coast properties to me and like a lot of non Wizards properties to like friends of ours. How do like where did that come in? Like, obviously, like, you play D&D as a kid. That's, like, the name brand one. Where do you start, like, exploring other systems? How did that happen?
Yeah, I wanted to play a sci-fi role-playing game. And I also was kind of getting to the realization where, like, rules are not what I'm looking for. Like, mm-hmm. I know how to, like, when you get the core mechanics of a role-playing game down to, like, this is what skills do, blah, blah, blah. I know there are other role-playing games where, like, the entire mechanics are different, where, like, you don't. But if, like, an adventuring role-playing game,
yeah,
you need to know how combat works, how, what kind of roles you need to do with a role-playing interaction with a non-player character, blah, blah, blah. And I just found that, like, what I actually needed was, like, things to help with adventure creation, which mm-hmm. is why I, which is what led me to find Stars Without Number,
okay.
which is a fantastic, like, as a set of role-playing rules, it's fine,
mm-hmm.
but the mechanics for generating, procedurally generating a universe or, like, story threads, places and people
yeah.
and things, it's fucking amazing. Like, it's so useful where, like, it takes 90%, almost 100% of the pre-work as a dungeon master
mm-hmm.
out, like, just completely, like, evaporates it, and you don't need to do it at all.
Which is good, because you get a lot of DMs who are like, I set up these encounters, yeah. and those are the encounters that are going to happen, like, yeah. regardless of
Which
anything.
Is
so
horrifying.
And but I mean, like, I understand that from, like, a human perspective. Is like, I put this work in, therefore, like, that work needs to pay off. So if you remove yeah. if you remove that effort,
there's all the stakes.
Yeah, you know, you don't feel as, like, personally invested in, like, this is the adventure that you have to play.
Yeah. Which is, like, also, it makes it more fun to DM
mm-hmm.
because you're actually discovering the story in the same way that the players are doing.
Yeah.
Like, you have to play the game too. You
yeah, know what yeah, I mean? Yeah, like, you yeah. can't the just DM be like, is a player.
Yeah. Like, and nobody, like, I'm sorry, but, like, your average person is not a good storyteller. Like, in terms, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. you can't, yeah, yeah, you're yeah. not going to set up fucking Lord of the Rings. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, mm-hmm. you're just not, it's, your story beats are going to stink. No one's going to engage with them. One, because it's not a fucking book. Like, people are interacting with it. It's, yeah. it's a different medium. And so it's much more interesting to be like, all you need are, like, you need to get people, like, aligned with a goal. You need a threat and you need, like, some kind of, like, ticking clock.
Yeah.
Those are, like, the three things that you need. And if you throw those at a player or a group of players, a cool story will come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you set up, like, this is where the climax is going to be, like, it's going to suck
because yeah.
it's, you're not going to flow there at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to get distracted or be more interested in something else that you're not going to be prepared for because you overprepared somewhere else. You got to, like, be way more loose with it and elastic.
So Stars Without Number is, like, that's what we've been playing predominantly
yeah.
Throughout the pandemic, which has been great. Very, very good. But you've also, like, you've been doing some tweaking to that. And then you've been taking the Worlds Without Number, like, the new fantasy sort of version of that game that they're
yeah.
putting out. And you're basically building, like, your own, using that
fantasy
as, like,
module. Yeah.
Daggerheart,
which is sick.
but that, TM, TM, TM,
yeah,
TM.
TM, TM, don't you fuckers. But, like, that, yeah, that's my first attempt to, like, try and build mechanics, like, rules mechanics in a way that will facilitate a certain tone.
Okay.
Like, and I think that's where, like, we've hashed out a bunch of those the magic rules
mm-hmm.
where it's like, I want magic to feel dangerous and scary and unpredictable
in a way that, like, because, like, you my favorite fucking thing that you have ever said maybe is when you referred to fifth edition as Disney's Marvel's D&D, a Star Wars story. And it, like, that's right, you know. And there's yeah. nothing wrong with, like, I'm playing a fifth edition campaign right now, and
it's a really good game.
Like, it's a good game but it's also
rules, but it's
so funny, like, kind of bouncing back and forth between the fifth edition game that I'm playing and the Stars Without Number that we're doing. And it's like, in Stars Without Number, I feel like a fucking, like, scrub who is just scraping by the skin of my teeth. Like, I should have died, like, 20 times. And in D&D, we're, like, fourth level right now, and I already feel
you
like a demigod.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm just, like, untouchable.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes it's like, again, it's like that thing where it's like, sometimes you have a hard week at work, you fucking log onto your computer, and you're just fucking playing a combat simulator and feeling real good about yourself, right?
Yeah, the thing I found is, like, that's fun, but only for an encounter.
Sure.
like when you have the second encounter where you just shit on everything, you're like, okay, like I guess I like the decision making is taken out of your hands because you're like, the only thing that I should do is move forward and attack this thing.
Yeah.
Or cast this spell, this which isn't really like there's nothing spelly about it. I'm mm-hmm. just pushing like
it's like button. It's basically a laser beam.
Exactly. Like yeah.
So outside of the blank without number sort of RPGs, like have you before sort of settling on those, have you dabbled in like any other RPGs outside of your like D&D or was it straight to that?
Not outside of like the Wizards of the Coast shit. Like we played the Star Wars, like not the Edge of the Empire game, but you've played that obviously.
I've run Edge of the Empire a couple of times. That's a system that I really, really like.
But we played the D20 and I've incorporated like
we did do a session of that. That was fucking great.
Back when I liked Star Wars.
Dax Meridian. Oh man, what a character.
Yeah. I actually played like I really was just like a D&D guy until I played one game of one of the Fantasy Flight 40K.
Mm-hmm.
RPGs, the Rogue Trader one, which was pretty interesting, actually.
I was listening to like a live play podcast of one of the it was like an Inquisitor flight, and that was an interesting system as well. I liked that they use like everything is done on like a percentile die instead of a d20.
Yeah,
and your it's funny because your skill set you reduce your number. Because it's the idea of like you're rolling a percentile die and you want to get over the number. So like
you're trying to lower your.
Yeah. So you start and your shoot is at like 70 and then you can like put in skill points or whatever to reduce it to like 60. So it's more likely that you fucking shoot something, which is like, I don't know. It's fun.
Yeah. I think that's like apparently the Warhammer Fantasy role playing game is really good. Like the original one that Games Workshop did, like which is like an old game. It's like it's like from the mid or late 80s, I think, something like that. But it's like apparently it's great because it's one of those in opposition to, I think it's probably like especially D&D at the time, like really deadly game, and like uses its mechanics to apparently like get across the disgusting feeling of that world where it's like you fucking like your guy's like a club foot and like you know, boils on his face and can't do anything.
Yeah. And then the Fantasy Flight Star Wars games have been really fun as well. Like I don't know if I've run one of those for you yet.
I've never played it. But I did take
Obligation.
Obligation
is great.
Put that into Daggerheart because it's such a great thing.
And I like their thing when we were talking earlier about yes and yes but where like they don't it's not a numerical die system. You have like successes, failures, and then like advantage and disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
So you could roll a thing and like succeed with a disadvantage, or you could fail with an advantage. Right. And there's a lot of like up to, I mean, there's mechanics in the book. Again, this is that kind of thing of like house ruling it. There's mechanics in the book where like you can spend an advantage, or you can spend, or like the GM can spend a disadvantage on smaller things happening, but the way that I've been playing it is just kind of like it is the player will say like I want to do this roll, and then it's my job as like the GM to interpret like, okay, you succeeded, but there's like you took a hard shot to make and you successfully hit the target, but in doing so you fell out of the cover that you were in.
Yeah.
Or like just kind of like building the space.
In order to get the shot, you had to move out of it.
Or exactly. Like
now you're exposed and you're in danger.
So that's been pretty fun. I do like that the past few years has been like a little bit more exploring outside of like the mainstream like tabletop games and role-playing games, and like because you've been doing like some historicals and shit as right?
That was what I played when I got into when I took my break, like stopped playing 40K. I got into like World War II and
like
Ancients,
Flames?
Flames of War, which is a fucking great game. It's a good bridge from 40K into historicals because it's mechanically almost identical, except like the core mechanics. It's like move phase, shoot phase, fight phase, morale phase, but it's a way more tactically deep game because the core mechanics facilitate different types of play based on your list composition.
Like, right.
it's not always a good idea to move in the move phase. It's not always a good idea to shoot in the shoot phase because, like, there's drawbacks. Like, you expose your unit to outside of cover, like, you know what I mean, etc. Whereas, like, I find in 40K, it's more about, like, less to do with, like, interacting with the tabletop battle space. It's more about what are my power-up ability, what are my, rules modifiers, etc.
What's the, just, like, generally playing that game, like, have you gone to, like, Flames tournaments or, like, playing pickup games of Flames of War?
Yeah, yeah.
You meet some fucking weirdos?
Yeah, historicals are like, an extra type of weirdo, but, like, in a way that I like better than a 40K weirdo, where, like, they're just like old men.
Okay. Like, yeah.
Mostly.
You don't, like, you don't run into someone who's like, no, I'm wearing this shirt because it's the army that I'm playing. It's, yeah.
They do, like, that's fucking the weird thing too, is like Battlefront, like the you know, you can get like in 40, you're like, here's an inquisitorial patch you can put on your game case.
Yeah.
It's all fucking SS shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, what? I'm like, what did I just sew this death's head on my fucking... Explain that to the Polish lady on the DTC.
No. Maybe they're just really into like Cold Cave or.
But I like historicals are cool because it is automatically. Flames of War is a bit different because it's kind of like it's that bridge game, so it has a bit more competitiveness to it. It's more of like an established thing, but historicals are more about less about rules and more about models.
Okay,
and it's like you try different. You can try like 10. There's like 20 different rule sets that you can use your models in.
Some that's sick.
You know what I mean? Some people are like, we'll try this rule set. But really it's about like, I want to play with my fucking Panzer tanks, or I want to play with my Romans. And like, that's kind of it. So it's more, less, or almost no competitiveness, no like, edge to it. It's more, it was like pure wargaming kind of thing, which is neat. Cool. I definitely recommend it to anyone who's like into history and like wants to war game. It's fucking sick.
And then I guess like the last little sort of like aspect of tabletop games that we haven't really touched on outside of board games, which you said didn't count.
They don't count.
Specialist games. Like some I know you do Battlefleet.
Battlefleet, that's a great game.
Okay. Yeah. Have you played X-Wing? Like, how does Battlefleet compare to X-Wing?
I played X-Wing one time, and it wasn't for me because it was too gamey.
Okay.
Too, like, card... fucking, I'm sure someone listening to this is like, X-Wing's the best game. Fine.
Sure.
Also, like, I don't care for Star Wars anymore.
At all. JJ really fucked that up for you, eh?
I was just like, oh, I don't like this at all. anymore. But, Battlefield's a great game. It's like the thing I like about those types of games that are like in the 40K thing is like playing in that universe in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're playing, getting into Stargrave.
Yeah.
And doing it with 40, like in 40K.
So we're like, that's kind of like the, it took me a while to get my head around the idea of like Inquisitors 28 or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Where I was like Googling rules for Inquisitor 28 and being like, this doesn't make any sense. Yeah, and it's just like, the rules are what you want them to
it's,
be.
Well, it's the thing where it's like, it's a modeling scene first and rules second. Like, you just, you play with them however you please, I assume.
Yeah.
It's also, I don't fucking know. It is like a really like opaque, esoteric like type of playing for, but like, we've been playing Stargrave with it, modeling our own like niche. Like
inquisitorial crews.
Yeah, but like, and like not, but not just like inquisitor, like fucking our buddy's playing like a abhuman like beast man roving pirate crew. And it's like, that's fucking sick. It's more RPG. But yeah, it's a great, Stargrave's fucking, I recommend that to anyone who wants to do like, but it's like, yeah, like playing in the periphery of 40K, so it's like not just, we're playing 9th edition like, or 6th edition or whatever it was. You can play like with like, the spaceships or like with
I don't like, I'm getting so into fucking like skirmish games and shit. Like, like the kill team rules we already said are fucking great. Like I was doing Mordheim for a little bit. I had like a pretty fun little like Skaven Mordheim warband that was like, and I mean like that's an old system. It comes with its like issues of it just being like
I love bad. Those like exploration. I love those like exploration mechanics to it though. Like
the exploration mechanics stuff. Are fun, but it's just shit where it's like, oh, you have a wizard. I guess you just roll to see what his powers are, and it's like, cool. So I can, like, there's no
none of this works.
Well, yeah. It's just a thing where it's like the fucking like min maxer in me is like, no, I need my wizard to have this power in order for this other unit that I have to work.
Yeah.
And if like just that day I rolled the shitty power, then it's like, oh well, I'm fucked. But like. You know, like it's that's a small quibble that dates back to.
I want
to
play Mordheim with Frostgrave. Like that would be fucking sick.
I think I still have those like Skaven dudes kicking around somewhere. They're fucking. Yeah. That's a fucking sick model range. I do not care.
Warhammer Fantasy fucking rocks.
Like, but
it's so sick.
Sigmarites though.
Well, like, that's different. I don't fuck with that shit. It's so bad. It's so bad. I hear the game is fun. I will never play it. It looks like dog shit. Because like fucking the old world is just so sick, so cool.
Yeah.
And like that's another thing I've been getting into is like the Warmaster stuff.
Mm.
Warmaster is awesome.
That's a fucking like epic scale, right? It's like,
yeah, it's 10 millimeter.
Yeah.
But it's like I get to play, because I always wanted, I always loved Warhammer Fantasy. Like I read when I was a kid, like Gotrek and Felix books and stuff, like Black Library Fantasy stuff, which is fucking awesome pulp fantasy.
Cool.
But like, you know, at no point in my life, even when I was like, I have a job and I'm like a young adult and I can afford a 40K army slowly over the course of like 5 years.
Yeah.
Even then, buying a 28 millimeter fantasy army was like out of the question. Like, it's just so many models.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that popular. But like now I can like get a Warhammer Fantasy army and it's just teeny tiny. And it's like a third, like a fifth of the price. And like, you can play it on like a 4x4. That's fucking awesome.
That's sick. That's cool. I think that like kind of covers it for my sort of like gaming history of I hit all the systems I've played. I hit all the armies that I've played.
All the highs and lows.
All the highs and lows. I think the people out there will get an idea of sort of where we're coming from. Like, I think a lot of the things that we just talked about in terms of like how to tailor rule sets to your own enjoyment, or the difference between certain systems, or like those are all things that we're going to do like specific episodes on.
That's what,
like,
we're into, for sure.
Yeah,
that's,
like, yeah. This is just giving you a little taste. See what it tastes like, you know?
Yeah.
I do want to. I think like for my own personal like inspiration, I want to end every episode with a hobby goal. So before we sit down to record our next episode, whenever that is going to be, our official episode one, what do you want to get done hobby wise?
I want to finish the core troops of my Warmaster army. So I got one unit of crossbowmen to go, which is doable. And then as my stretch goal, I want to do the Repentia for my sisters.
Sick. So I'm a buddy of mine. Kind of speak, and like we'll get into this a little bit later, but not to keep harping on the board game thing, but a buddy of mine's been playing fucking
Gloomhaven.
Thank you. Yeah. Which sounds awesome. Sounds like it's like a procedurally generated board game. So it's kind of D&D-ish. Cool. It's like a dungeon crawler.
Love that.
He pawned off all of the, well, not all, he's been doing it in like small batches, but he's been giving me all the minis from that to paint for him. And I've been really dragging my ass on this second batch that he gave me.
Well, that's, you're 500 points painted for 40K, right?
Okay. Yeah, I'm in it. I'm, dude, yeah.
Man, the fucking game store is opening up.
Let's fucking go. But yeah. So I want to, my two goals is I got to finish those Gloomhaven minis for my boy. And now that game stores are back open, I want to go and get in my first game of 500.
That should be our actual goal.
First,
to play.
I need my first game of 500 in a fucking shop.
In a shop. Smelling the nerd sweat.
Well, we're going to have masks on, so
true.
You know, like it'll...
Yeah. It'll be good because they're doing $5 covers, which is good because
you
could put some grease back in the old wheels for the poor hobby shops.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
Fuck yeah, let's do it.
All right. So that's our little... Session zero character funnel, way too much unnecessary backstory, as just like every session zero, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it should never come up again. But yeah, thanks for joining us, dear listener.
Yeah. We'll see you next time.
Ciao.